Okay, Linda, how are you doing?
All right. No,
How are you doing with the commercial deal you were working on?
well, I he wanted me to. He called me back and he said he had. I have a lease in this plaza, and so he called me and he said, well, he wanted me to submit a proposal. And so he said he also had called a couple other realtors. And so the friend of mine who I had given me, who is his related to him, said he holds, he has 46 properties, and one of them is also a tennis club in East Providence, and they belong to her. Most of them, they belong to her daughter, and her husband just died. It was the last day of my listing contract with her mother. Anyways, well, and it's anyway. So she wants to let go of all these properties, and he's handling the estate, and that's this strip plaza. So I needed to figure out how to get together like a professional proposal, because you can't really, there's no comps out there, like for this particular one, and there hasn't been a lot of solds. And so a friend of mine who's done a lot of real estate, commercial properties around this area, you know, kind of told me how she prices out. And then I got a written proposal format from this other realtor at Coldwell Banker, Jeannie Clark, who and how she writes her she faxed over how she writes her proposals out. And so, and then, you know, I, you know, and I priced it out also to what I thought it would go for, too, with what, you know, a couple other people figured it out. And so, and plus what I know about the building. So I wrote out a proposal and I faxed it over to him. And so, and actually I talked to him yesterday, because then there was, I get calls with for the tenants because they don't know who to call, so they call me. So I call him. So I talked to him yesterday because there was a plumbing issue over there. So I don't know. So wait and see. So I did
Okay.
that. And another, I had another listing. I went, you know what? That's going to be that person. He approached me. His listing's going to be expiring. So a couple of listings I went after. I had a new buyer client, but a couple of things fell apart this week. They didn't accept the offer on Sherman Farm. I got them to 375, the highest and best. He wouldn't accept it. He wouldn't counter from his 399.9. And ended up, I pulled him from the market. He was gonna, you know, it just, anyways. So,
So as far as
he didn't care. He well, when he got, they came in low at 356, and even the other realtor, you know, we counted for 3 days. He went on for 3 days, and the highest and best, the other agent came back and said 375. And he said, you know, I tried to get them to start higher, and because my seller, when he my seller when he got the offer, he said his exact words were, they can kiss my ass. They I'm not taking that offer. And I said, you know, well, you know, anyways, you know, I said, let, you know, counter. And he said, my counter is 399.9. And he wasn't
So he's
going
not
to
being
wouldn't
reasonable
come
at
to
all.
no. Well, anyways, it ended up after 3 days, his offer was 399.9, and he said, I don't care about market conditions, I don't care about anything. So I just said, you know, he played games for three, you know, so I just said, let's just take it off the market. And the buyers were good buyers, so anyway, so it didn't work. And so I I ended up, I just closed one on Friday, but it was a cheap one. It was an easy close, but it was only a couple of thousand. And I put other buyers where in contract, went into pending, but they ended up with major inspection issues. So they don't want the house. And so, of course, I end up with an agent who didn't want to give us a release. And so now I had a lawyer take care of it. I just got a call this morning. They're agreeing to release it. They want to find another house whose mall we're going into. But then, again, that was another closing I was counting on. But they're going to go, we're looking at mall houses right away this weekend. So then I ended up, then now I just put my house in Johnston on Whittlesley in pending. So now I got another sale. It's like I'm constantly, you know, so I sold that. Yesterday.
Okay, so what did you sell that for?
$150,000.
Does it look solid?
Yeah, they're good buyers. Okay. The other agent, she's a good agent. I know her. The buyers are good. It's Rhode Island Housing. I know their guidelines. She knows theirs. We're going to make sure that there's no issues right from the get-go. So I'm meeting over there tomorrow with the son of the seller, because she's in California, to make sure we have take care of all the issues before the inspections. And they already had a home.
Hello? Hello?
Sounds like you might have lost, but Don, I'm here though.
Richard?
Yes.
Are you there?
I'm here, but it sounds like maybe you lost Linda.
Yeah, it sounded like it.
I heard her whole story.
Yeah, then all of a sudden she's gone.
Maybe
hopefully
she finally
she'll call right back. How are you doing?
Doing great, Don. And you?
Very good, thank you. Are ready for Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah, we're getting ready. Our oven broke. So, you know, did some research on that. I looked in Consumer Reports, you know, and they said, you know, any appliance that's like, any oven that's like 8 years or more, you might want to really consider replacing it versus having it repaired. I did call to have it repaired. It'd be $250 if there's no complications. So, you know, we might just go out and get a new one, but if we get a new one, it's going to be tough having it here by, say, Wednesday, you know. So, I don't know. So we're, you know, working on that.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Well, luckily I bought a three-family house and kicked out the tenants 5 years ago, so we got three stoves in the house. But, you know, they're not as good. The tenant stoves, but I'll have to use the one on the second floor.
Oh, yeah. That's not good.
I know. The teeny little stove, you know, but we'll make do with it, Don. I'm not, you know, we got people coming over, so we're all set.
Well, that's good. Did Linda just come back? No? Richard, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. That's weird. I don't know what's going on.
You're having challenges on this coaching group, Don.
I didn't think I was.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just... Well, first you got two of them that drop out, then you got two of them, now you're going back and forth. You're into Linda's situation, now I'm here.
Yeah, kind of crazy, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so did you do any of the business planning, Richard?
Yes. I sent in the annual income worksheet. I sent in the annual income goal sheet.
Okay.
Very easy to do, Don, because, you know, like like I mentioned, I didn't have any transactions this year or last year, only because I've been building a different business.
Right.
And haven't really marketed too much, but, you know, I did a little business in 06. So,
all right.
And I have the business. I have the business planning tool in front of me, and I've been looking at it for a while. You know, a lot of it. Well, some of it has to do with what I did in the last 12 months, which is all zeros.
Right.
I'm not trying to avoid business. You know, I have been working with a couple past clients. You know, if they call me, I'm working with them, but. You know, one investor that's lukewarm, another lady who wants to buy a house, and I showed her, you know, three or four really good properties among, like, 10. And she just called me yesterday, you know, Rich, I'm going to buy it for sale by owner. You know, and I got the buyer agency agreement, which I can enforce in a court of law. You know, who the hell wants to go through all that stuff?
Right.
I don't think I want to do that. And she might not buy this one anyway. So, you know... It's like for the last 12 months, I'm just dabbling in it, really, not actively marketing, but just trying to build something else that I'm doing, another real estate company. But I really want to launch it. I mean, this is important to me. I do want to, you know, hit the ground running. In a month.
Is Linda back yet?
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry. I was having my... trouble with my fax line, and I had somebody working on it, and they disconnected me. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yelled at him. Okay.
Okay, no problem.
Machine. It's been... I keep messing them up.
Okay. All right. Well, at least we got you back. The business planning stuff... Hang on here. I was just trying to print your business planning. With regards to 2009, one of the things that I wanted to share with you guys. Sorry, got picked up kind of a cold here. Hang on, I'm still trying to. I was just getting the rest of your stuff printed off when the. Speaking of challenges, I've had challenges with my computer all morning myself, so I understand that.
Oh.
You got to love them and you got to hate them at the same time.
Well, the Staples I got it at shut down, too. Went out of business.
Pardon me?
The Staples I got it at went out of business. It closed.
Staples?
Yeah, they closed a lot of stores. And got it at shut down.
Wow, that's kind of scary. I know there's a lot of people, a lot of businesses like that are shutting down.
Yeah.
Okay, Linda, let me just kind of go through, and maybe Richard, you can follow along on the actual income goals for the year.
Okay.
I'm going to give you some percentages that I want you to work with, and it's going to be. If you look at the actual income goal sheet for the year 2009, and Linda, you sent me your $40,000, $60,000, and $80,000. Okay, what we're looking at is, I'm going to give you the percentages. Then you guys can both go back and plug these percentages in. Multiply them by your minimum acceptable, average anticipated, and maximum attainable, okay?
Yeah, that's what I want.
Okay, so the first one is December is 4%. January is 5%. February is 6%. For first quarter benchmark of 15%. Okay, and then you're going to look at March as 8, April is 9, May is 10%, for a benchmark of 27 plus the 15, I should be at 42% of my goal by the end of May. And this is including pending. This is focusing on pending, okay? Okay, June is 12, July is 10, August is 13, total of 35%. You can see between the second quarter and the third quarter, those are your two biggest months, okay? 35 plus 42 equals 77%. September is 10. October is 8. November is 5. 23% plus 77 equals 100%. Okay? So what you can see is your first quarter is the least stressful. Let me just go with Linda, because she's already given me her minimum, average, and maximum attainable. What you do is you take those percentages and you will run, you'll make three copies of this actual income goal before you extend any of the numbers, okay? You with me?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, your average commission per closing. Average commission per closing was $3,900, so on $40,000, that would be about 10 units, 10.2 units, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to check the box of which one this is, because you're going to give me three sheets like this, okay? So we start off with a minimum acceptable. We've got $40,000 times 4% equals $1,600. Okay? $40,000 times 5% equals... Wait a minute. Let me make sure I did that right. $40,000 times 4%, $1,600. $40,000 times 5% is $2,000. And then 6% times 40,000 is 2,400. Make sense?
Okay.
So your total first quarter benchmark is $6,000. You with me?
Right.
So you just take and extend these. It's the number that is, if my category
right.
is a minimum
okay.
acceptable, if I'm doing maximum, then it's just 80,000 times 4%.
Right.
Okay. And then the other thing is that you want to do units based on your real estate salesperson's business planning tool of 3,900. So that is, you know, 60,000 divided by 3,900 equals 15.3. So we're really going to round that up to 16. We're going to round that first one up to 11. And then the last category, 3,900, is 80,000 divided by 3,900 equals 20.5 or 21. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Now what you're doing is that now you will create, let me ask you this deal that you did yesterday for $150,000, Linda.
Yeah.
When does that close?
Well, 30 days is going to be. We're all in housing, so they're a little slow.
Okay. Well, is it more than, I mean, because we've got several holidays. We've got Thanksgiving in 2 days. We've got Christmas that's going to wipe out.
It's probably the end of December. So it's going to close the end of December.
Okay. in the event, let me just kind of give you an idea here. In the event that that was not going to close until January,
right,
then that would be counted for your month of December. Does that make sense? On the actual income goal sheet, the day that says December, or the month that says December.
Yeah.
What it's really saying is, anything that I put in today, for most people, if they were to put a deal under contract today, the more likely scenario is based on the number of 4-day weekends we've got over the next 6 weeks. Chances are it would close in January.
Right. Right.
Okay. So anytime after January 1, then we would count that as December's. So let's just say this deal isn't going to close until January 3rd.
Right.
It doesn't matter one way or another, but January 3rd, if it doesn't close for January 3rd, then this is part of your 2009 income.
Okay.
Because what you're doing between today and the end of the month is trying to put as much into pending as you possibly can, but that's all for December. And in January, you can see that based on your $40,000, we got to get another deal under contract in January.
Right.
Does that make sense? When you see the listing pendings and close are the key to following this, am I on track? Am I off track? Being careful to weigh exactly whether or not the deals that you've got, are they going to close? Are they going to close? Are they going to close? Because they really don't count if they're not going to close.
I know. This last one, we closed it in 4 days.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Richard, can you see what you need to do with this also? You use the same percentages?
I follow the percentages. The only question I have, Don, is when I'm looking right at the actual income goal sheet, I see what number I put before each percentage sign. You just gave us those. Now I figured it out, the income amount. Oh, I get it. Okay. I just figured it out as I was thinking about it. So the income that we put next to the corresponding dollar sign is just that percentage amount that's next to it.
Give me an idea what your minimum acceptable for 2009 is.
60.
Okay, so if your minimum acceptable for 2009 is $60,000, then December will be basically 60,000 times 4%. What you're going to put in the dollar sign for December is $2,400. Does that make sense?
Yes, 100%. I got it.
Okay. And what you want to do is, again, each one of these months... Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Like you said, and the first one, I check off minimum acceptable. The second sheet, I check off average. The third sheet, I check off maximum. And then I just fill in the numbers appropriately.
Right, right. And then you send those to me.
Right, got it.
Okay. Now, the correlation between these goals is your listing pendings and your close. I mean, go ahead.
That's the thing I had a little question on, Don. I'm just not sure what percentages on the business planning tool. Like, for example, say based on the actual income goal sheet, I'll say I needed, two closings in a month. So I don't know what percentages. Okay. Well, for each closing, how many presentations I have to give, and then backing that up, how many appointments do I have to make, backing that up, how many calls do I have to make? I just don't know those percentages.
Well, I do think that when it comes right down to it, you want you don't know because you haven't tracked, and you don't have anything to back it up. So right now, what you're going to do is going to be trial and error to some degree. And I would say to you, I'd say basically to both of you right now, if you don't have a number or don't have a solid number, you need to be going on two listing appointments every week.
Okay.
If you're going on two listing appointments every week, you will hit $60,000.
So on two appointments, should we list maybe 50% of the time, so like one listing a week?
Probably a little less at this particular point because, you know, you're going to reject some of these listings.
Oh, that's true.
So if I go on eight listing appointments over the course of a month, I might get one or two listings today.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But two listing appointments a week, I mean, realistically, if I'm doing what I need to be doing, if I'm picking up the phone, calling my past clients, calling my sphere, you know, if I'm either working for sale by owners or expires, or even if I don't have any business, you know, following somebody else's business around in the office, just say, hey, can I call around that great new listing that you got? Can I call around that great new sale that you've got? You know, picking up the phone and making those calls. You know, I'm trying to drum up two listing appointments per week, okay? Here's the thing that you got to know. If you don't do the two once, okay, you can get away with that. If you don't do it twice, you could probably get away with it. But if you do it three times in a row, you're never going to do it. Does that make sense?
Yep.
That would be like 21 days. And what did I say? A habit formed in 21 days or something like that?
Yeah, well, understand this. You already have a bad habit.
Right? No.
Yeah, you're trying to create a good habit.
Noted.
Okay? All right. You can see that again, when you're sending in, now you've got to send in the listing pendings and close every single time. So I can see, you know, again, some people say, well, you know, nothing changed. Okay, look, I'm not looking at what didn't change. I want to see what happened. I want you to actually physically have to write it down and say to me nothing happened or show me that nothing happened because there was no activity. There were no new listings. There were no new pendings. There were no new close. You know, if I can see that, I can ask the question back to you. What's happening? I mean, it's obvious. Nothing is happening. What are you doing about it? And that's where coaching can be extremely valuable when you've got somebody holding you accountable to some of those things. But I can't hold you accountable to something if I don't know what you're doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
When you look at these numbers, both for both of you, all both your, I don't know what your average or your maximum are, Richard. But I'll tell you that Linda, yours are very on track. You can do the 80,000. Your focus, what you're saying to me is your focus is the 60,000. You can do the 60,000. Okay? You know, you can do the 80,000 because it's not such a big stretch. What's the most money you've ever done?
108.
108?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Already been here, done that. Okay? Belief system's not blocked by it. You know, because you know you can do it. What you're doing is you're anticipating a tougher market than even 2007. And you might be right, or 2008, and you might be right. But at least you're in a ballpark that says, hey, look, you know, I'm still in this business at 40,000. I'm going to be happier at 60,000. And 80,000 is my stretch point. I'll guarantee if you're doing two listing appointments a week, Linda, you'll break your $100,000 mark. But you got to go on the two listing appointments a week.
Well, I did two this week. But I didn't even have to because they approached me.
Right. But, and it's great when you do it.
I know that, you know, and it was so, I mean, you know, but they were, and well, like, but one was like a lot of work to put together that whole thing, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, but, okay. The other, I put together a nice listing packet. I drove over, I delivered it, and, you know, and I have a few that are lined up for coming up this year already,
mm-hmm.
you know, so, you know, but, you know, and some people that I'm going to be targeting, you know, so.
Okay. Well, I think you both, let's talk a little bit about 2009 and what it does hold for us. And I'm going to go back to the book here next week. 2009, what do you see it holding for? What do you guys see? And then I'll tell you what I see.
Well, I'm like very nervous going into 2009.
Okay. And why?
Well, I don't know. I am because, well, you know, it's financially I'm very worried, you know, because, you know, last year was a horrible year, and you know, I don't want a repeat of it.
Right.
And so I can't have a repeat of it. I can't withstand a repeat of it, you know. And
right.
So you know, and I'm watching a lot of people, you know, leaving Remax just for the fact of the fees. And you know, it's like I got to check out every option, but, you know, I just don't want to do that. I just want to just stay steady and just make, you know, keep making money. But I have to focus on right now, you know, getting myself, you know, feeling like I have enough money just to feel steady, you know.
Right.
And so I'm focusing just trying to get some closings together and, you know, focusing on, you know, getting more listings right now. So just on the immediate, you know.
Right.
You know, I'm working every single day.
Okay.
You know, right now I'm just like focusing on, you know, on what at the you know, at the present, you know. It's like what I have
uh-huh.
to do each day, you know. So that's it.
Well, okay, I think that's great. Let me hear what Richard has to say, and then I'll throw in my 50 cents worth.
Okay.
I don't think that we're going to see a reverse on the trend that's happening right now. I don't think the market's going to start going back toward the, quote, traditional type of market or maybe the strong market we had, say, you know, 2-3 years ago or whatever it was. I don't think we're going to see that. I think we're going to see a lot more agents leaving the business. Then we're going to see a lot more foreclosures, a lot more expired listings, a lot more FSBOs and so forth. So my feeling on that is that wherever there's change, there's opportunity. Even if it's a perceived negative change, which obviously this is for most agents, I see that it's a tremendous opportunity, Don, for real estate agents, if they change their business model to accommodate the change in the market. So I see myself focusing on what's happening in the marketplace right now, focusing on foreclosures, pre-foreclosures, expired listings, and so forth. And there are specific marketing techniques to get that type of business, and you know, and even to bolster that, a lot of more agents are going to be getting out of the business. So the competition is actually decreasing for agents because there's less agents in the marketplace. So I see it as a time of great opportunity. You know, obviously, Dirk Zeller, everybody says this, but, you know, the greatest fortunes are made, or there's the greatest opportunity to make money in a change like this. And it is a drastic change. So I see it as an opportunity, and I'm just focusing for the last few months on changing my techniques that I've been using for, say, 25 years. And I haven't perfected anything yet, but, you know, obviously you have to make your move before you perfect something or you'll never even try. But so I don't see it as bad as a lot of agents see it. I see it as opportunity.
Okay. I would agree with some of that. I would agree with the fact that, you know, in a market like this, it is, you know, for most people today, as you look in the marketplace, you watch the news, you know, the media, whether it's television, radio, newspaper, is all pretty negative. You know, how many people shut down, who's getting bailout money, you know, what's happening, you know, who's closing their doors, Staples is closing office, you know, Circuit City is closing 600 offices or 600 stores. Some of these malls are, you know, there's a big thing out just recently about, you know, be careful buying gift cards because
I heard that too. Oh, I heard buy silver now.
I couldn't hear that.
I heard buy silver.
Oh, buy silver. Buy silver, yeah. Buy gold. Yeah. Again, lots of things out there on the marketplace. You know, it's kind of like, okay, look, most of the news is bad, but bad news sells. Okay? Bad news sells better than good news. And when you look at your opportunity that exists in real estate right now, people will always have to buy and people will always have to sell. And your goal and your target needs to be able to find those people who are serious about selling and are serious about buying. There is going to be a lot of foreclosures and stuff. The foreclosure rate will probably continue to skyrocket through 2010. Maybe even as far as 2012, you know, just because of the way these finance vehicles that were used and when they come to term, when they start to roll over, you'll see that there's a lot of people in trouble, you know, that will be in trouble in a couple of years if they don't get their homes sold. So there is going to be opportunity out there for good agents. If I focus on the negativity, I might as well turn in my license now and try to get a job at 7-Eleven or Walmart. However, there are a lot of people applying to those places. I think that when it comes to this business, it is back to the basics. You know, it is the profoundness of two listing appointments a week, 50 weeks out of the year, that's 100 listing appointments. How many listings do I have at the end of 100 weeks? I mean, at the end of 100 listing appointments. What does that mean to me as far as income? That's just part of it. That income stirs additional income. When I look at working with an agent, I like to see them get 65% listings and 35% sales. You know, if I'm just focused on listings, that's what I'll end up with. Because everybody who sells, you know, 30% of those people are going to turn around and buy something in their local market. Okay, some of them are going to move out. Some of them are going to move out of district, out of state. Some of them are because of finances are, you know, not going to be able to buy again. But that's where you want to be. You know, if I focus my attention on listings, I will have some buyers to work with. But it is about consistency. It's about tracking. It's about knowing when you're off, when you're on, and when you're off of your target. It's doing the day-to-day things. It's staying above the crowd. It's avoiding the the water cooler crowd who are talking about the doom and gloom. It's also about saying, okay, look, I'm going to be smart. I'm going to cut some costs. You know, I'm going to look at my life and my family, and I'm going to say, okay, look, what do I need to do differently today to be here a year from now? What are some of the things that I need to get rid of? Maybe there's some luxuries, some basic items that you really don't need to live, but maybe you're not getting a dollar value out of them. You want to walk away. You want to move those things off your plate. You know, if it's education and training and it gives you an edge on people, you know, you got to value that for what it's worth. If it's toys or, you know, eating out six times a week, you know, you got to look at it and say, okay, look, I need to cut back. I need to budget. I need to get back on a budget. If you look at, we're not going to have a chance to get into it because that's really not what our group is about, but if you look at the rest of the forms in this thing, you know, you can actually go through and spend time on your marketing. How am I going to market? To whom am I going to market? You know, I think marketing for most people is almost a no-no. You can spend a lot of money marketing and get very little or zero results. You're not in a position to experiment, either one of you, to experiment with marketing. You know, that's why I say you got to get on the phone. You got to knock on a door. You got to go to a BFI meeting. What, you know, a network meeting. You got to generate the leads without spending a ton of money to get them. You know, and so the only thing that I know of is look, I'm trying to get face-to-face with as many people as I can, at least two people a week with a listing appointment. What do I have to do? What's reasonable? What's so passive that it's not going to give me a guaranteed result? You know, what are the things that I need to do on a regular and consistent basis? Well, if you're making 20 dials a day, you know, you're going to get the listing appointments. Now, you may not get two every week, but maybe one week you get three and one week you get one. It should average out to two. Okay? Don't be afraid of this market.
I end up getting them when I go out and meet people. I get them that way. I don't get them on the phone.
Okay, and that's what I'm saying. You know, you've looked at this.
I don't get them usually on the phone or by referral. Like, all right, one I got from the house on Whittlesey, the guy across the street. I met him once, and then he came over to me, and he asked me to do him a favor. He got divorced, and he's helped to sell his ex-wife's house, and it's a nice house in Johnston. The listing's going to be expiring. And
mm-hmm.
So I gave him my pre-listing packet. And the people on the other side of the house, their daughter has a three-family, and they've moved out of state. And so I sent them my pre-listing. So it's like, and I've met them a few times. So it's like, it's usually people I meet.
Right.
I don't get it from, like, any other way.
I think what that says to you, Linda, is that means, okay, look, I have to have a game plan to, you know, when you start to look at, when you really start to track in this stuff, you know, and some of the agents that I've got working with me for, you know, several years, I've got one in Minneapolis who, you know, says, I will go on 92 appointments, face-to-face appointments. Each appointment is worth $1,547. When you know that those appointments, those face-to-faces, you know what the value is because every appointment that I go on in a given year divided into my gross income gives you the value of that appointment. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So if I know that, then just like what you just said a minute ago, Linda, and that is, look, I get more by meeting face-to-face. Of course you do. That's the whole goal, is to get face-to-face. So if you've got ideas that get you face-to-face with people, your goal is to get face-to-face with somebody twice a week. Twice a week, to be able to talk real estate.
But when I do, then I meet somebody new face-to-face, like a new contact, like, all right, I met somebody new, some new people last week, like a new person from Citizens,
right.
A new person from, then, or a new buyer that, you know, or some, you know, that wasn't going to buy a property and said they're not going to buy now. Then I stay in contact with them. I send them newsletters and emails, like, and they say, well, they're not going to buy, or, you know, for a while, and I'll be in contact with them, and then, hey, like, 8 months later, they'll call me, say, hey, we're going to buy now, just like what's happening with some people now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll just send them nice cards or e-cards or newsletters, and it's like, they'll just, like, call me back. I'll just, you know, easily be in contact, not harassing them, and they'll
mm-hmm.
call me back.
Well, I think that's great.
So, you know, or then some, you know, that I have started looking for, decided not to look, and I just stay in contact with, like monthly or bi-monthly, then come back,
mm-hmm.
to, you know, call me back, you know, just with,
mm-hmm.
like, so that's what I've been doing. So, you know, just by basically like a once-a-month thing. You
okay.
know, or, you know, and then, you know, something, you know, make up
right.
something, you know, just like, you know, just something, or then drop them a line or say, you know, whatever. You
right.
know, casual with me, you know, that's it.
Good. Good. Okay. Listen, I want you guys both to give me your, the actual income goal sheets, all extended, so that's 3 pages each. Also, give me your listing, pendings, and close, even though there may not be much difference between. It just gives me a chance to look at where we are,
okay.
where we are in relationship to the end of this year. And then, hang on here, I want to check one other thing. Okay, and then we meet on December 9th. Hang on here.
December 11th, it says.
Oh, it does say December 11th?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. No, I'm out of town that week. I think she moved you to December. Hang on here. Can I move you to December 8th?
Okay with me.
Huh?
Okay with me.
Okay with you. Okay with you.
Okay. Wait, where are we? Oh, wait, I had the wrong date.
Okay.
Oh, December 8th. Oh, I have the wrong date. Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to move it to December
8th. Oh, okay.
8th at 10:30.
Same time
as last time, okay? So if you get that stuff for me by then, that would be much appreciated, and I will look forward to talking to you on the 8th.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, you guys have a great Thanksgiving, by the way, okay?
Okay, thanks. You too, bye.
All right, guys. See you. Bye.